Amen. Praise God. Complete in Christ. And that is who we are as believers this morning. Just praising God for all of that. Take your Bibles, please, and turn the book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter 1 this morning as we continue in our series in this book. And I'll tell you, we are in for a wonderful time this morning because the Word of God is amazing and what God has done is amazing. And I trust that by the grace of God, I'm able to, at least in part, communicate what God has done, begin communicating what God has done for us as believers. Now, you're there in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me just say that you'll recall there was a time in the Lord's ministry when he was met by 10 lepers. You'll remember that these men who had leprosy cried out to the Lord Jesus and cried out for him to have mercy on them. And Jesus speaks to them and heals them miraculously. He says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they're going, they're incredibly miraculously healed. Their leprosy is gone. And these men who were living a life of a nightmare, not only, of course, dealing with the pain and suffering of the disease itself, but having to be ostracized and separated from family and friends. And yet when Jesus heals them, he not only restores their bodies, but he restores really their whole life to them. And he gives them their life again. They're able to love and to live and to connect with others once again. Jesus had given them their lives back. And you know, those of us who know Christ as our Savior, I believe we can see the same parallel in our lives. Amen. All of us were at one time diseased with sin and its consequences of death and separation from God. And when you called upon the Lord to save you, to cleanse you from your sin, to be the substitute, the payment for your sin, Jesus Christ healed you. He saved you. He gave you eternal life. And the Lord certainly gave you life where there was only deadness and the disease of sin. But you know, for all of the blessedness of the miracles Jesus performed for the 10 lepers, there was one tragic point. Do you remember what it was? You see, out of the 10 healed, only one came back to Jesus and fell down at his feet and worshiped him and praised him and glorify God for what had been accomplished in his life. And of course, the Lord recognized that by saying, where's the nine? Where's the nine? You know, folks, I think that we too can be guilty of something very similar. Not stopping to think and consider what God has done for us. Not regularly praising God and thanking him and worshiping him and glorifying him for all that he has given us and all that we are in him. We are blessed people. And we ought to praise God for it. And we ought to live like it. Well, this morning, as we begin looking at the passage before us in Ephesians 1, we see the Apostle Paul breaking out in praise to the Lord for his amazing work, for all of the divine work of God here communicated in this text. The work of God in building his church, saving us, sanctifying us, unifying all of us under Christ, and all the details that are unpacked in these verses. And Paul cannot help himself but to bless and praise the Lord. And we ought to as well. Well, Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 3 this morning. I'd like to invite you, if you can stand, let me invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the entire passage. I'm not going to preach on the entire passage this morning, but I'm going to read verses 3 through 14. And of course, just think that when this epistle was first read to the Ephesian church, they read the whole thing, right? So we're just reading a small portion this morning, so we'll be able to make it. We'll do good. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." Father in heaven, Lord, would you meet with us this day? Oh, would we begin to pull back the curtain and to see the glory of our Savior, the glory of our great God, the glory of the work of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, I pray that everyone here this morning would leave changed and transformed by your word. Would you help us to know? Lord, would you help us to be convinced? Lord, would you help us to be convicted about all that you have given us, that we are blessed beyond measure? And Lord, I pray that it would change our outlook. It would change our attitude. It would change our actions. It would continually transform who we are. We praise you for all that you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Let me just review for a couple of minutes here. We didn't read verses 1 and 2, but in verse 1, we saw that Paul is the human author here. This is the Word of God, inspired truth. Paul has been appointed by God to be an apostle. He is writing to the Ephesian church, who themselves are saints, and they are full of faith. They are believers in Christ Jesus. And then we have in verse 2 what we would consider to be a relatively standard greeting. Verse 2 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And if you look at many of the epistles, particularly those penned by Paul the Apostle, we see this is pretty characteristic. There's usually some variation. Of course, this is somewhat of a prayer in a sense. It's really desiring God's grace and peace to those that he's speaking to the Ephesians. Grace, as you know, is God's favor. It's God's divine, unearned, unmerited help toward us. Peace is that quietness of soul, that harmony and contentment between God and his children, because we who were estranged and rebels against a holy God have been made to be unified with Christ, and there is now harmony. There is now a rest, a quietness, because we are right with the Lord. And so here we find a heartfelt desire that every believer would know and experience God's grace in God's peace. And this epistle is going to expound on those virtues as we move forward in the text. And then, of course, we see in verse 2 that they come from none other than God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, all our blessings are from God, who is our Heavenly Father, and they are made possible through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. and we see the beautiful harmony with both of them, both persons of the Godhead, one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know these things. And grace and peace. Grace and peace to you. All right. We're going to focus in on, for the next few weeks, verses 3 through verse 14. I'm going to make some observations before we really get into the text. Observation number one, verses 3 through verse 14 is, in the original language, in the original Greek text, is one long sentence. And our Bibles, we have broken it up in sentences and so forth to help us with the thought, but it really is one long sentence. And that's significant, that's important, because as we study this, we need to know that it all kind of fits together, okay? So that's helpful as we study this. Secondly, the divine work that is spoken of in these verses are executed by all three persons of God, all right? We find all three persons of God executing these divine actions here. God the Father, He has blessed us. He has chosen us. He has predestined us for adoption. God the Father has made us accepted by His grace. He has made known the mystery of His will. He will gather together in one all things. And I'm not choosing all of these, but a number of them. God the Son, we see that in Christ we are chosen. By Christ we are made children of God. In Christ we are accepted. In Christ we have redemption and forgiveness. In Christ all things will be gathered together. In Christ we have an inheritance. And it's in Christ that we have believed. And God the Holy Spirit, it's the blessings of the Spirit that we have been given. They're spiritual blessings. It's with the Holy Spirit that we are sealed. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the earnest of our heavenly inheritance. So all three persons are seen active in these works. And then third observation is that this entire passage is one of praise to God. And we see that right here in the opening verse, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is right away giving us an indication of that. But it continues on all the way through because we find verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And we can work our way down. It mentions it again. Verse 14, under the praise of His glory. And so this whole passage is a blessing to the Lord. In fact, the Greek word for blessing is where we get our word eulogy. Right? Now, when you think of eulogy, I think a lot of times we think of a funeral. But what the word really means is has the idea of commending or giving high praise to someone, speaking of the good things that someone did, right? That's a eulogy. And this passage is actually a Jewish eulogy of sorts in praise and blessing to God for all the good and all of His goodness that He has done. Indeed, our God deserves all praise and glory, doesn't He? Doesn't He? He is good and He is good to us. He has given us so much. Psalm 113 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 69 and verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Psalm 150 and verse 2, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Psalm 34, verse 3, Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And we find in Revelation 5, in verse 13, I like these verses, every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Praise be to God. He is worthy of our praise. And again, praise is rightly directed to Him. And notice the scripture there in verse 3 that He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to pass over this. I'm not going to spend a long time with this. But we need to understand that from other places in the Scripture, we know that when the Scripture refers to God as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is not speaking of being a father in the biological sense, right? Instead, He's referring to God the Father in a relational sense to Jesus as Son. And that's important for us to understand. I heard someone say that even in our English vocabulary, we'll talk about, for instance, the father of modern science or something like that. And we're talking about somebody who is kind of over that or originating that. And we kind of see this relational aspect between the persons of God. And of course, in Scripture, we understand that it is the God the Father who originated this master divine plan that He's communicating to us here in these verses. It is God the Father who sent His Son to redeem us. It is the Father's will to whom Jesus submitted. And so He is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just stop here and ask this question. How much of your life is praise to God? Are you regularly praising the Lord? I mean, genuinely so. Are you regularly thanking Him? Are you regularly glorifying the Lord? Or would you have to say that you find yourself more often than not being like the 9 lepers that were healed rather than the one who falls down at Jesus' feet and glorifies the Lord and thanks Him and praises Him? You know, one of the reasons that we here in our church on Wednesday evenings have a opportunity for testimonies and opportunity to praise the Lord and an opportunity to talk about what God has done in our life and what He's shown us in His Word. And one of the reasons we do that is because I believe it's an important discipline for the believer to regularly praise God and to learn to publicly praise God. You see, if we struggle to praise the Lord among our brothers and sisters in Christ, I think we'd find it difficult to glorify God and to point and talk about the Lord to those who don't know Him. And so it's important for us to stop and to think about what the Lord is doing in our lives and to thank Him and to praise Him for answers to prayer, for showing us truth in His Word, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, being grateful for all that God has done. Well, that brings us then to the reasons Paul has burst out in praise to the Lord. What is it that God has done that has brought about these words of praise? And this morning we're going to focus in on just verse 3. Verse 3, notice what the Scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so focusing on this verse, really the last half of the verse, we're going to consider first the scene, then the scope, and then the sphere. All right? And hopefully that'll help you to remember it there, keeping all those S's. All right, first of all, the scene. What is the scene? We talked about last week this grand vista of mountains and just being able to take it all in. And here's the scene. The scene is that we are blessed by God. We are blessed by God. That's exactly what it says. And Paul blesses God and praises God because He has blessed us. He has blessed us. And indeed, God is the giver of blessings. God is the giver of blessings. God, who alone is worthy of all praise for His righteous nature and works, has showered blessings toward us. He Himself is the source of all blessings. James 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." And all that is spoken of in these verses originated with the Lord. He is the giver of blessings. And it was His decision to bless us according to what verse 6 says, the good pleasure of His will. He chose to bless us. He chose to give us blessing. And you see, this is what it's saying. Believers are the recipients of blessing. He chose to bless us. And of course, we see the Apostle Paul including himself in with the Ephesian believers. Believers are the recipients of blessing. God's master plan of salvation and sanctification and gathering all things. All of it has been directed to us. All of it has been directed to His church. Folks, we could never rightly say that God has somehow forgotten us or abandoned us, or God doesn't care about us. 1,000 times no. The Lord loves us. The Lord has shown us mercy. The Lord deeply cares and has blessed us. He is the Lord of glory. He is sovereign over all things. And He has blessed you. He has blessed you. If you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, you are blessed of God. You are blessed of God. I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know the hardships that you're facing. We're living in challenging times right now. But the Word of God states emphatically that we are blessed people. We are blessed people. And, you know, we are blessed not because of our goodness, but in spite of our lack of it. Someone writes, when we bless God, we speak good of Him. When God blesses us, He communicates good to us. We bless Him with words. God blesses us with deeds. I tell you, there is a God in heaven who has showered His blessings upon you, and there is no circumstance of life that changes that. There is nothing in your world that you're experiencing. Not a single thing. And I realize that there could be some really difficult trials people are going through. But there's not a single thing in your life right now that you're going through that changes the fact that if you're a born-again believer, you are blessed of God. That's what the Bible says. I think of Psalm 8 in verse 4 when I think of God's greatness and His majesty and His glory, that He would think about me. David cried out, "What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him?" Lord, really? Lord, You blessed me? Lord, You worked in my life to save me. You are working in my life to sanctify me and bring me to be more like Christ. Lord, You are continuing to shower Your grace and Your mercy toward me. Lord, really? Yeah, He is. You are blessed of God, child of God. And folks, how that ought to radically change our perspective when we get a hold of that. It ought to encourage us. It ought to motivate us to praise Him and to live for Him and to serve God. You are blessed of Him. Now, we're just getting started because we see the scene before us, the landscape of what God's done. But I want you to see the scope of what God has done. The scope is every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Look at it. It says it right there. Verse 3, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. This little word all is so powerful. It really is. You see, the Bible does not say that God had some leftover blessings and He sent us a crumb or two. It doesn't say that, right? Now, if that was the case, that would be pretty awesome. That God would give me a blessing. The God of heaven and earth, that He would give me a blessing, that He would give me a blessing or two. And I think of David there in Psalm 84 and verse 10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says, hey, I'll take anything I can get because I want to be near the Lord. And certainly it would be wonderful and awesome if God were to give us a blessing or two. Praise God for that. But folks, the Lord didn't give us a blessing or two. He did not just give us the leftover crumbs of blessing. The Bible says He has given us all blessings. Every blessing. Every single one. He's given us every blessing. I mentioned this verse earlier, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. You have it all if you know Jesus as your Savior. You have been given every spiritual blessing, all spiritual blessings. You say, Pastor, I don't feel blessed. I don't know if that's, hey, check your unbelief. Because look what the scripture says. You have all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. What is this? All the blessings in the Spirit. All the blessings in the Spirit. The phrase spiritual blessings is not emphasizing immaterial blessing over material blessings. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. Rather, the word spiritual speaks of that which is associated with the Holy Spirit Himself. This quote here is this. I think this is good. Everything that Christians have received. Everything that Christians have received through God's saving act in Christ is summarized in this expression. So in other words, everything you have, everything you received when you receive Christ as your Savior is referred to in this phrase. All spiritual blessings. Everything we have has been given by the Spirit through Christ by the will of the Father. It is every blessing that God has given to His children recorded all throughout the Word of God. I mean, I think this would be good for us to open up our Bibles at some point and just look for the blessings of God. Look for the blessing. Look how God has blessed His children, blessed His people. That's one of the blessings you have been given. So many that we could talk about. We have so many that are actually spoken of here in this passage, right? We've been blessed with the spiritual blessings of holiness and adoption and grace and redemption and forgiveness and the Spirit of God Himself who indwells believers and an inheritance that will never go away. I tell you, I think we are so guilty of living like we are spiritually poor when we are absolutely rich in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. I want you to look at verse 6 for a moment. Verse 6. Notice the phrase there, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And the phrase, made us accepted, means literally to bestow favor upon. This word is actually translated in Luke chapter 1 in reference to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when the angel comes to Mary, he says to her that she is highly favored of the Lord. That's the same Greek word here as that was translated, made us accepted. And so the idea here is that God has poured out His grace on us. God has bestowed His grace upon us. He's just poured it out. It would not be wrong to think of Niagara Falls. Anybody been to Niagara Falls? Okay, see, okay, you know what I'm talking about, all right? It would not be wrong for us to have that kind of picture in our minds if it were possible for you to stand under it. It wouldn't be possible. But if it were possible to stand under it, just to have the blessings of God being thrown. He has graced us with His grace, it is actually saying. And they're just coming down. You're blessed. You're blessed people. Do you start to try to get a sense of what's going on here? I tell you, this is so amazing. My children know that when we have our family devotions, I like us to sing "Count Your Many Blessings" as a family. And I tell you, if we were to start counting our blessings, it'd take a while, because we are blessed people. We are blessed people. We really are. Now, here's an important lesson for us. The reason we don't live like we're blessed people is because I don't think we believe we are. Our perspective is skewed by our feelings and our emotions and clouded by our experiences. And when we really need to be grounded on God's Word and what it declares is true. In other words, every single day we need to remind ourselves that God has blessed us and God is blessing us and that we already have, past tense, all spiritual blessings. We have them. They're ours in Christ. So many examples we could look at. You know, we know and have the love of God. We know and have the love of God. Romans 5, verse 5, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. Do you know that the Lord Himself has shed His love on you. He has poured out His love upon you. And He has given you and given me His love that we might love others as we're supposed to. We have it already. How about God's peace? You've been given the peace of God. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So, Pastor, I don't feel at peace. The Bible says you have it. You've been given peace. You have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And oh, how we need to access it by faith. We know and have God's joy. Remember what Jesus said, John 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And tell you, if you have the Spirit of God indwelling you, you have joy as we walk in the Spirit. Every spiritual blessing. You already have it. I already have it. And we need to believe what God has said. And we need to be reminded of these truths. And we need to praise the Lord and thank Him for it. Praise God for it. I'm reminded of the stories of men and women of God who have been in great need, missionary stories and so forth, and how often there were times when the need was so great for food or for money for this particular ministry, and they pleaded with God and they prayed, and oftentimes they would get up off their knees, believing God for it, and then doing what? Praising Him and thanking Him for it, even though they hadn't got it yet. By faith, they were already praising God for it. And you know what? God gave it. God gave it. God met the need. I tell you, we would do well if we would develop a habit of every day praising God for the blessings we know we already have. And when we do that, I believe we can tap right into knowing and experiencing them every single day. We need to regularly count our many blessings, praising God for them and enjoying them and believing them. Some of you, and I can point back to myself, I really could, but some of you need to stop sucking on lemons and live in the joy of the Lord. You do. You need to be happy in Christ. You need to stop living like you're the poorest Christian there's ever been and start living like you're the richest that there's ever been. Why? Because in Christ we are. You have every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. This is the scope of what God has done. But then notice lastly, the sphere. The sphere. These spiritual blessings are in the heavenlies in Christ. Look at it, verse 3. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Our blessings are heavenly located. Our blessings are heavenly located. Location of our blessings. Now, the word places, you can look right there in your Bibles, is italicized, and so it's not actually in the original, and this was just given to kind of help us. And I think, you know, the reason why is because what we're talking about is something where there is a sense, where there is a physical location, but it's more than that. It's more than that. We're talking about a location, but not only of a location, but also a realm, as it were. Some places where this word is used, right here in Ephesians. Look in verse 20. "The risen Christ was seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places." Same word. So Jesus Himself, with His resurrected physical body, He lives, He dwells, He is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, in the heavenlies. But this is where this gets interesting. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, in verse 6, the Bible says that you and I, as believers, are seated with Christ, where? In the heavenlies, heavenly places. It's like, wait a minute, I'm here, the Lord is there. Spiritually, there's a sense in which we are there too. That's what it's saying. And that's why it's both a location and a realm. There's a sense that it is true right now, but it will find its full expression later.
Ephesians 3 and verse 10, we learn the principalities and powers, those angelic beings, dwell in heavenly places. And in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 12, we learn that the spiritual battle that takes place every day, it takes place in high places. That's the same word, by the way, heavenly places, in the heavenlies. So our spiritual blessings from God exist in the realm of the heavenlies. And folks, I think one thing that we could take away from this is to speak of our present citizenship. You see, when the Lord saved you, when the Lord blessed you, He gave us all these blessings, and He gave them to us as we now are dual citizens. I like this quote. It says, Christians have a paradoxical two-level existence, a dual citizenship. While we remain on earth, we are citizens of earth, but in Christ, our primary and infinitely more important citizenship is in heaven. See, this is not our home anymore. This is not where we're from anymore. Right? And that is, by the way, why we are to be seeking the above things. Right? Those things that are of God. Those things that are in the realm of an enthroned Christ, where He rules and reigns. And folks, understanding this unlocks experiencing our blessings from God when we live as heavenly citizens, walking in the Spirit, living in obedience to the will of God. I tell you, if you're down in the dumps today, you're discouraged. I think it's easy to kind of get into the drudgery of life. Maybe we feel like we're a hamster on one of those wheels. It's just day after day, week after week, and of course with the pandemic we've been facing and just all the changes that has brought, and it's just the grind, right? The grind. And some people are really struggling financially and with jobs and so forth. And you need to understand, this is not a pipe dream. This is not a wish. This is not just making this up to kind of try to salve our depression. What we're talking about is actually knowing and believing and living like we are citizens of heaven today, and enjoying and basking in and experiencing all the blessings of God today. I'm not talking about painting on a smile. I'm talking about really smiling because of who you are in Christ, and loving the Lord and serving the Lord because of it. And that brings us lastly to understanding that our blessings are in Christ. I told you this phrase was going to show up a lot, and here it is again in verse 3 at the end. Our spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Because we are in Christ by faith, we have every spiritual blessing. Our union with Him. Romans chapter 6 speaks about being baptized into Christ, or immersed spiritually into Christ. It affords us all the blessings. Romans 8 and verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And notice what it says here. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, this will be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And so because we are one in Christ, we are united to Him. Folks, we experience all that He has. All that He has, we have. And it's just a glorious thing when we consider all that. Of course, the question that we should ask is, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Because the spiritual blessings come and are yours only if you're in Christ by faith. And if you say, yes, I'm saved, I am in Christ, then are you abiding in Him? Are you living in light of who He is? Are you living connected to Him? Are you living connected to Christ? Are you knowing Him? Are you pursuing Him? Are you living Him every single day? When I was in college, the Lord convicted me about my lack of gratefulness. And I tended to, particularly this one particular occasion, I tended to maybe look on the negative more than the positive. And I remember just the Lord really dealing with me as I thought back over my life and thought about all that God had done for me. And particularly, there was a man in my life who played a major role in me coming to know Jesus as my Savior, and then really was instrumental in helping me when my mother passed away. And I remember just being really overcome, just with my, just feeling like, I don't think I've really been, I said thank you like I should have properly. And so I, with tears, wrote him a letter. And I don't know how long it was. It must have been at least a couple of pages. And I just felt compelled to just write a letter thanking him for all the things that he did for me in my life and helping me come to Christ and helping me grow in the Lord and helping me after my mom passed away. And I just wrote, and of course, much of the letter, of course, was just really praising God that God had used him in my life the way that he had. Folks, you're blessed. You've been blessed. Are you living like it? Are you praising God for it every single day? We need to be. Let's all have our heads bowed, please, for just a moment, eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. I feel as though it must be a miracle of God for us to get a clear glimpse of all that God is saying here. And I wonder if you're here this morning, you would say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know the Lord is my Savior, but oh, I've not been living like I'm blessed. I've been discouraged. I've been unmotivated. I've been feeling like I'm in that hamster wheel, just grinding it out week after week. Perhaps you're here and the truth is that you've forgotten. You've forgotten the reality of your blessings in Christ. And today, this morning, you want to embrace them. You want to live them. You want to live like a new person in Christ that you are. And I'm going to pray in just a moment, but just a pen, just a raised up every hand, you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God is dealing with me. God is working in my heart. By the grace of God, I'm going to live like I'm a blessed person of God. Anybody else? Anybody around the room, please? Thank you. I appreciate those hands. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. I wonder if you'd say, Pastor, you know, I'm not really even sure that I'm in Christ. There's not a time in my life I can look back and see that I put my trust in Jesus alone to save me, and I'm concerned about that. Is that you? I'd like to pray for you as well. Anybody at all? Let's all stand to our feet, please, as I pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word this morning, how I pray for every believer that indicated a need. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would leave here this day, Lord, with the new walk. Lord, may we not feel same, like the same old person that we were when we came here today. Lord, I pray that you would transform our thinking, that you would help our unbelief. Lord, I pray for everyone that raised a hand. God, deal with them where they are. May we all know and experience the blessings of Almighty God. How we praise you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name.